welcome to episode 27 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Robin, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Elizabeth, and Andy. Many people are familiar with culinary tours or even wine tours, but people might not be as familiar with brewing or beer tourism. Craft beer is being produced at a level not seen in the U.S. since the late 19th century. There are more breweries currently in the U.S. than at any time since the 1870s. And while craft brewing still only accounts for a relatively small percentage of the overall brewing industry, people are attracted to the wide variety of beers and ales being produced. Jalapeno and cilantro pale ale, oyster stouts, imperial stouts infused with cocoa nibs, graham crackers, and marshmallows. This is one of our favorite topics, so let's get started.
So I think Andy likes the graham cracker and marshmallow beer.
I'd say it never ceases to amaze me what you can infuse a beer with. You can just take any typical beer recipe. I met with a brewer friend of mine over the weekend, and I was introduced to an imperial stout by a Charleston brewery called the Fat Pig that was infused with graham crackers, marshmallows, and cocoa nibs all at once. And it was just like drinking a s'mores.
Wow.
Or a s'more. Is s'more the singular?
I guess it's more than one.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. It's just amazing what brewers are out there doing, and they're just getting so creative.
Yeah, I have a beer downstairs that's chocolate and peanut butter that I can't wait to have. And you'd think chocolate and peanut butter, two great tastes that go great together. Why not add beer?
I don't know.
Actually had it on draft. It's really good.
Although our local brewery in Holly Springs had a coconut stout that my friends really
like. And the thing I like as well, I mean, I've been partaking of the old hop and malt and what have you since from an early age, relatively early age, relatively.
Like nine?
I was 16.
But it's
not just the ingredients that are being used. And there's so many craft breweries out there. I mean, we're not talking about sort of your mainstream breweries, the crowd-pleasing breweries, and they have their place in the world, don't get me wrong. But it's the names of either the breweries or the beers that they produce. I was at a beer festival with my dad in Derby, England, and there was a brewery from Nottingham that had a beer called the Thriller in Vanilla. So it's playing off a famous boxing match with Muhammad Ali and just making it into a beer name. And it was actually the worst smelling beer I'd ever had put in front of me, but it tasted wonderful.
There's an American brewery that has a Thrilla and Vanilla now that's actually quite good. Yes. In fact, I just saw it at the store today and I can't remember who it is. So sorry, beer makers who I've forgotten. Sorry about that.
Is it just Raleigh that's having this explosive craft brew thing going on, or do you guys see it in other areas?
Absolutely not. Well, we are in Columbia, South Carolina. We're a relatively, medium-sized city. We have three breweries. But within, 90 to 100 miles, we've got cities that have 7 up to about 11 or 12 breweries. So I know that the central North Carolina has just undergone a great boom in craft brewing around the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area. It's nationwide. The Pacific Northwest, for example, is a major hotbed of brewing. So Portland, Oregon is one of the areas that's really well known for it. Other places that you might not think about, but really are sort of out there. Grand Rapids, Michigan, that's the current Beer City USA. It took the title from Nashville, North Carolina a couple of years ago. There are 7 or 8 of what are widely recognized to be some of the best breweries in the country. Founders, for example, New Holland, they're all sort of in and around the Grand Rapids, Michigan area. So we see that a lot of people want to visit sort of breweries and are willing to go a relatively short distance, but there's also a lot of people who sort of, a friend of mine who came on a trip we ran to Charleston last year has just come back from Denver, Colorado, where he went out for business, but he made it his own brew trip as well. A lot of breweries in Colorado, Fort Collins area. So a lot of people are sort of using beer tourism, brew tourism as a means of getting out there and seeing the country and see some spectacular countryside and drink some really interesting beers along the way.
It's always a great way to travel is to tie in with some sort of hobby that you have. And you can think of a lot of different situations. Like, if you're a cyclist, there are lots of trips out there where you can basically cycle across France, or you can, and then there are these culinary trips and these wine trips that focus on areas of the country where the regional food is the star of the tour. And so you can go to Tuscany and enjoy the food. And so beer is just sort of the natural following of that. And there's lots of ways to go with it. You can go with the history of beer. And like Robin was saying in the intro, you know, craft beer, brewing your own beer, of course, is as old as beer itself. And some of our founding fathers brewed their own beer. And there are places in, you know, Virginia and Pennsylvania where you can go see where they would store their beer and things like that. So you can approach it from the taste. You can approach it from the history. There's lots of ways to approach it.
And it's not just a domestic means of tourism either. I mean, you look back to, you go to Europe, and brewing was traditionally done by educated people, and that would have been the monk. So a lot of these Benedictine monasteries in Belgium or Holland or Germany, the world's oldest brewery, Weinstephaner, is out of Freising, just outside of Munich. It was originally set up by monks.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah. I'm Catholic.
I mean, it's actually kind of interesting because while monks were actually fasting, they were still actually allowed, in the Middle Ages, they were actually still allowed to drink beer, and they were allowed to drink up to a gallon of beer each monk per day. They weren't allowed to actually, they were fasting, they weren't allowed to take any food, any comestibles, but they were allowed to drink up to a gallon of ale a day.
It's like the world's first frat house.
Yeah, that's like cheating, because I think drinking a gallon of that kind of beer would be like eating,
yes.
You know?
Well, I think that wasn't that the idea, Andy, was for nutrition?
Yeah. Well, the Germans to this day, I mean, they still call beer liquid bread. And it's brewed. I mean, there is a law. I mean, we talked about this in our Germany episode from 1516, German beer purity law, that only natural ingredients are allowed to be used in it. So technically speaking, beer is good for you in Germany. At least that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it.
Okay, let me ask you this. You know what I drink. I drink Michelob Ultra. Everybody makes fun of me. But if I went to Europe, you know, let's say I go to Oktoberfest. Am I going to find something I like?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
And you might have to try a few before you find it. But that's part of the fun of traveling, isn't it?
Trying. And the best thing is, after a few, you're going to like whatever.
Anyway.
Well, I wouldn't say they all taste the same. You can't tell me that a jalapeno-infused pale ale tastes the same as a coffee stout. But you can definitely try something that's along your lines. They often have some good lagers that are sort of brewed in the Stepan tradition for several hundred years. But beer varies from country to country, even countries that you don't sort of associate typically with beer. Italy, for example, I mean, it's more known for its fantastic wines. But one of the best beers I've ever had was a sycamore ale that was brewed in Italy. And it was absolutely fantastic. It was this beautiful coppery color. It just had this really nutty taste to it. And it was just incredible. I was very surprised, and it was a great little find.
Robin is dying to ask a question.
What could I expect if I was to go on a beer tour?
You'd make a lot of new friends.
Yeah.
Nothing brings people together like a good drink. I mean, it doesn't have to be beer. I mean, it could be a wine tour. It would be the same phenomenon. But what we found when we've visited a lot of these breweries is that you get a real insight into the mind of the brewer. The way that beer is brewed is typically the same no matter where you go. But depending on the size of the brewery, you just get a different insight. A small brewery in North Charleston, Frothy Beard, they are three guys who just basically wanted to set up their own brewery. It is what is called a nano brewery. They are brewing on a very small scale, but you can really see the love and the passion that they pour into this by seeing the relatively small cook pots that they use to actually do the mashing and the brewing. You can walk inside their cold room and just have a look at what's going on and see like the bubbling. It's like being part of Frankenstein's lab. And then they open up their chest freezer and let you taste some of their chocolate malt that they have in cold storage. And, you know, they'll take you back there and they'll answer any questions you have. And everybody, even non-drinkers that we've had sort of come with us, are fascinated by the whole sort of approach to what is basically chemistry. And then you can go visit a larger brewery where they're bringing on a much larger, massive commercial scale for widespread distribution. And I'm not just talking about sort of some of the really, really large mega breweries, even on a regional scale. And it's impressive to see the great big stainless steel tanks. I have a friend who'll actually let you come into his brewery and he'll let you drink straight from the tank. It's about as fresh as the beer can ever get. And that's just something that not a lot of people are able to do. So you'll learn something, you'll make some new friends. I think you'll have a really good time.
Tours of breweries are not a new thing. I mean, Heineken has had a very famous brewery tour in Amsterdam.
It's one of the best breakfasts I've ever had.
Guinness does too, right?
Yes, Guinness will let you in as well. Sam Adams has huge. So these are, you know, large scale brewers, although Sam Adams is sort of a small scale, large scale brewery. That's always been something you can do if you go to that city. So beer tourism just sort of takes it a step further and says, I'm going to go to X in order to go, you know, I'm going to go to Grand Rapids in order to see breweries, not I happen to be in Grand Rapids, so I'm going to go see a brewery.
The one caveat there, though, is that if you're looking to see, like, some, I mean, the Heineken Brewery is a beautiful Victorian red brick building. St. James's Gate in Dublin, where they brew Guinness, dates back to the 18th century, and the architecture as well. For example, Holy City Brewing in Charleston, not so much. It's in a warehouse in not the best part of town.
Near the jail.
Yeah.
But you do get some hidden gems. A friend of mine has a brewery that's right on the banks of the Ashley River. You have to wear your blinders going in there because there's a whole yard of porta potties that they store. But you get out there, you see bald eagles flying overhead, and you know, it's just a really, really nice to sit on his veranda and just sip a nice farmhouse, organic farmhouse saison and watch the world go by.
There's one in Pittsburgh called Church Brew Works. They've redone a church. What do they call the big tank things? They're like up on the altar. When we first went in there,
Chris, that's awesome.
We came to pray at the altar of beer. But Chris felt like it was really sacrilegious when he first went in there. He thought it was crazy. But that's the Baptist in him. You know, like us Catholics, we think that's totally fine.
Yeah. That's where you drink, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
Sorry. Yeah, well, and that's, I think that's one of the thing about touring breweries. I mean, when you've seen one tank, you've sort of seen them all. There are different sizes, and sometimes they're made out of different materials. I just saw there's a brewery here locally in Fuquay Varina that is getting wooden tanks, which I'd never seen before. They're like basically oak aging their beer before it even becomes beer, is what it looks like. Oh. I just happened to see a picture on Facebook, so I had never seen that before. They could be copper, they could be steel. Mm-hmm. So yeah, at some point you're like, oh, I've seen one tank, I've seen them all. But that brewery that's getting the wooden tanks, they started in an airplane hangar. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you can go into Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco and go to Magnolia, which is in this beautiful bar, and you wouldn't even know it was a brewery sitting in the brew pub. They have great food, and it just seems like a bar, except for all the beer is theirs. So it sort of runs the gamut from, you know, was this in Joe's garage?
The other thing I like is that a lot of these smaller breweries, they use local artisans to either create their tap handles, either out of, you know, different materials. Frothy beards are all hand-carved guys with beards, but that each one's different, and they have a guy who does that. But I've seen sort of brewers get involved with the local art community and sort of find somebody whose style they like that sort of represents what they stand for. A lot of the breweries are sort of, you know, using local artisan types, sort of art students or artists in general, to create their tap handles, whether they're hand-carved wooden tap handles or sort of brushed metal. And you can really get a sense for sort of the labor of love. They put their heart and soul into what they're doing. They're often not making great profits, but they're making some fantastic beers. But it's not just, you know, oh, here's my India Pale Ale, here's my stout, here's my porter. And they're following recipes, but they're using sort of different amounts of ingredients and some and different varieties of hops or malts or combinations thereof. And that, you know, and you can talk to the brewers while they're there, and they'll really give you an insight into sort of why they do what they do and why they use these particular varieties of hops and why this tastes the way it does.
The Mother Earth one in Kinston, North Carolina, is all organic. I think it's organic. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think that's right.
But I know the building is like LEED certified, which means that it's more energy efficient. And so they look at stuff like that, like the patio out back used reclaimed water to water their plants, not to make the beer. But, you know, and then, you know, there's one, a really cool one in Raleigh called Crank Arm, that when you go in, all of the decor looks like bicycle gears, and they have things you can turn, and it makes things on the ceiling turn, and it's really cool.
I mean, we are focusing a lot on the breweries we know here in the Southeast, mainly because y'all need to come visit us here if you're not listening from the Southeast. Full Steam in Durham, their whole thing is to use local ingredients, and they go out of their way seriously to get local ingredients. Things like hops don't grow really well in North Carolina. We're trying, but they don't. And so it's really hard to get local hops. And we have sources for some things, but so they'll look for people who have very local ingredients. And basically they're known for we'll put anything in our beer if it was grown locally, you know, as long as it's edible. And they've come up with some great.
We went to Asheville, Elizabeth, a year or so ago, and we met with a hop farmer. Mm-hmm. And he was growing sort of small quantities of hops. It was fascinating to see the hops growing actually on the vine. He was just finishing up his harvest in September when we were there. But he told us that he just sold his last 20 pounds of hops he harvested to a small local brewery just down the road in Black Mountain. And we happened to stop by there and basically found it in this little strip mall. And they brewed this wet hop beer that was just fresh out of the tank. John just poured it for us right there and then. It was just a different flavor and unlike anything I'd ever had before.
It was delicious, beer. Yeah, it was delicious. The way you were describing it almost sounded like you were trying to avoid saying it was good. But yeah, it was actually really, really good. And that's another thing actually about breweries. If you don't like beer, you could still go on a beer tour and have a great time if you're an animal lover, because every brewery has a dog. Every single one, at least one.
There's a new puppy at the Bombshell Brewery in Holly Springs named Barley.
Barley!
And the thing I like about all the craft breweries being sort of within striking distance of us here in the Southeast, I mean, Raleigh's not, it's, what, 3 hours away from where I am in South Carolina, but, you know, Charlotte's up the road, there are 7 or 8 breweries up there, Charleston's an hour and a half down the road. These make for sort of long weekend trips. And if brewing's not your thing, there's always something else going on in the city. But this is just because we talk about travel doesn't mean it has to be overseas. Of course, there's a lot of brew trips you can take overseas, and I'd love to, you know, sell some brewery trips to Germany, for example. You know, there's a lot going on sort of locally, as well as, you know, a little bit further afield. But
if you're the kind of tourist who really likes to get in among the people, that's a great way to do it. I mean, what better thing to do than go sit in bars with local people? And brewers are usually very local to the area that they're working in. I mean, there are exceptions. I think actually here in Fuquay, the brewery I was talking about, Aviator, I think that was started by a Dutch gentleman, if I'm not mistaken. So they're not always from around here. Yeah. But
they have that tradition, yes, that they've brought with them and has been passed down through generations. Well, the Danes have always had a good reputation for brewing knowledge.
And he definitely is using family. Yeah, he's definitely using family recipes and, you know, the way they used to make it back home.
You know, another trend that I like that I see at a lot of breweries is that they start run clubs and, like, bicycle clubs and stuff.
So, right, all those interests tie in together.
Yeah, I mean, you show up and you go for a little run and then you get, like, $1 off on your beer. And they'll have a food truck show up. And if you go a certain amount of times.
Lines, it makes me smile. Have you heard of Bendy Brewski?
No.
Yoga.
What better way to relax?
Yeah, you know, I've actually contorted myself into all sorts of positions after I've been drinking a few.
Much easier to do, isn't it?
To actually do this upon request of somebody and get money off a pint. Yeah, I'll do that.
I think Andy might have just shared too much information. Just thinking. Yeah. Bendy Brewski, that's actually clever.
Most of the breweries I've gone to, I can't imagine where they would. A lot of the times after a run, we're kind of milling around the parking lot or in the main player area. But
oh, I'll tell you exactly where they do it because I've seen it done. In the brew house itself, you bring your own mat. You just plonk it down on
the concrete floor.
There's plenty of room because there's a lot of stuff that gets spilled and they just clear it all out, clean it up for when the people come in to do their Bendy Brewski. I do like saying that.
It's a very friendly.
There's plenty of room.
It's a very friendly community. I mean, anybody who likes beer, you know, when people start talking about beer, just like what's happening right now, we get very friendly and, you know, we just really enjoy it, want to share with other people. And brewers are definitely, you know,
the brewers themselves are very proud of their product, but they also have a very loyal following from within their own local community. I mean, I'm going to tell a little story here. I have a degree in French and German. When I had to spend my year studying abroad, you know, we had to sign up for classes and everything. But one of my professors said, you know, go out there, go to classes, by all means, do that. But you can actually learn more in a place that where the locals go and learn the language better and learn the customs better and the history of the place or the peculiarities, the idiosyncrasies of a city in a bar or, in this case, a brewery, than you can in any classroom. And you go to San Francisco and visit Anchor Steam, yeah, you're going to run into some tourists, but there'll also be some locals there. And you'll get to meet some real folks who will tell you exactly what it's like living in San Francisco or Grand Rapids, Michigan, or wherever you happen to be.
So if we have any, like, 18 18 to 20 year olds listening to this podcast. They're gonna.
You like, just have to wait
a little bit longer.
Actually, a lot of the breweries are family friendly. I know some that have family fun days where they have a cookout and bring some caterers in, bouncy castles and face painting and things. Some of the breweries as well also partner with local lemonade vendors or ginger ale manufacturers and actually have something. You don't actually have to have this sort of 10% beer.
Some of them brew their own root beer, right? Yeah. You took your son to one in Florida that made their own root beer, right?
Yeah, Holy City Brewing in Charleston do their own root beer, and there's a Cannonburgh Beverage Company that make their own local ginger ale and lemonades and elderflower drink that my kids love. They're not actually begging me to take them to breweries, don't get me wrong. But there are things for kids, and they'll often encounter other families with kids there. We don't stay too terribly long, but we just get a taste for the local beer and have a flight of their samples and go on our way and do something.
This is one thing, and I know we're winding down here, but one of the reasons that we as travel agents look at groups like this is because planning something like this can actually be much more difficult than you think. And we've certainly had people say, well, why would I plan my group beer trip through a travel agent? Why wouldn't I just do it myself? And you certainly can. I think the number one answer is, do you want to drive? Because, in a lot of cases, these breweries are not right next door to each other. There are occasionally we get lucky and there are two right next to each other, or maybe three, but it's pretty rare, actually. And they're not in great sections of town in a lot of cases. If you really, some of them are, especially the bigger ones. But if you really want to get to a local place, you're going to have to find it. And so having someone do that planning for you, especially when you have a group traveling together, and it could be 8 friends, it could be 15 friends, it could be 40 friends. We suggest smaller groups because these breweries aren't always that big. You're going to be there with other people when you go, but that's why sometimes it's worth it to let somebody else. A lot of times it's worth it to let somebody else plan it for you so that you can then enjoy it.
And definitely where the sort of the drink driving comes in, you definitely want to have somebody. If you're going to 3 or 4 different breweries in a day, for example, like some of the trips I've been with, you don't want to be anywhere near the wheel of a motorized vehicle. And so when you can have somebody who can do the driving for you and you can go and enjoy things responsibly, mm-hmm. that's the name of the game.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is our show for this week. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Andy, and myself, Robin, thanks for joining us here at Outlander Travel. We'll see you next week. Gotta fly.